If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in Ephesians today. We began a new series last week about being a healthy church member, what all that includes and what it looks like and what have you. Last week we looked at being a functional member of the church, if you recall that. Being a functional member is not just one who is in attendance, but one who uses their spiritual gifts that have been given to them in service to the church and serving Christ. Being a functioning member in that manner, not looking at your gift as unimportant regarding, you know, maybe in comparison to others, but your gift is just as important as anyone else's and should be exercised in service to the Lord. And today, what we're going over today is about being a healthy church member is being a growing church member. We should always be desirous to grow. Grow in our relationship with the Lord, grow in our knowledge of the Lord, grow to maturity as believers in Christ. That is what we seek to move to. That's the end goal. We're seeking to become more like Christ. A growing member of the church is one who acts like Jesus, talks like Jesus, and so forth. Just as what we read in the Scriptures, we're trying to be as close as we can like our Lord is. That's being a growing church member. You're growing for that particular purpose. What we're going to look at today is in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, where Paul really elaborates on this very idea. So, beginning in verse 11, if you would stand with me, we'll read the Scripture. Paul says this, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Let's have a moment's word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again come into Your presence and we ask and pray that You would open the eyes of our hearts, Father God, that we would be able to understand Your Word, to take in Your Word, and to apply Your Word. Father God, we desire to learn more of You. We desire to learn all we can in our and grow in our knowledge. But Father God, we desire to apply those things to our everyday life, that we would demonstrate by our actions, not just by our words, our devotion to You, and to continually grow in all that we learn. And Father God, we again thank You for Your Word and revealing Yourself to us, that we can come to know You, come to know those things that are good and pleasing in Your sight. Father God, be with us this morning. And let Your Word go forth and accomplish all You send it forth to do. Father God, we love You. We give You all the praise and the honor for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated. This text is very familiar to us. It wasn't too long ago that we had went through Ephesians and we had come to this text and so forth. Looking at it perhaps from a different angle, I suppose. Emphasizing the need for growth. It is very easy in our Christian walk to just kind of plateau, that we don't desire much anymore, we don't desire to grow, we don't desire to learn, or we think that we're at a certain point in our life where we're okay. And we should always be desirous to continue our growth in Christ, to continue learning, to continue our ministry, to grow in ministry, and all those things. Let me read to you just a little bit by the pastor Mark Dever. He makes a number of statements here, and just read just a few of them to you. Let me see what would be a proper one to look at here. I underlined quite a few of them. He says this, A healthy church has a pervasive concern with church growth, not simply growing numbers, but growing members. A church full of growing Christians is the kind of church I want to as a pastor. Some today seem to think that one can be a baby Christian for a whole lifetime. Growth is seen to be an optional extra for particularly zealous disciples. But be very careful about taking that line of thought. Growth is a sign of life. Growing trees are living trees, and growing animals are living animals. When something stops growing, it dies. The church has an obligation to be a means of God's growing people in grace. If we are to grow as individual believers and as churches, we must sit under the Word. We must pray for the Holy Spirit to plant and to weed the gardens of our hearts. This spiritual growth is not optional. It is vital, because spiritual growth indicates life. Things that are truly alive grow. But a very important statement there when you talk about the growth of the church. We talk about the growth of the church a lot. And what we're not talking about is trying to get more people in the church and to grow in numbers. That is something that if the Lord blesses us with, by all means, you know, that's a wonderful thing. And we want to seek for that as well. We want to go out and we want to, you know, bring people in and have more people to be learning and to growing and what have you. But the growth that we're talking about is growing in your relationship with Christ. It is not just the growth where you learn to make a checklist of things to do on the outside. Well, I did this week, and I did this week, and I did this week, so I must be a spiritual person, and so forth. That's not the kind of growth we're talking about. Genuine growth in the Lord. That's what we seek. That's what we desire. That's what I desire for my life. That's what I desire for your life, and you desire the same thing, Lord willing. And we need to seek to cultivate that. We need to seek to nourish that. And we need to, as often as we can, promote one another unto that growth, to encourage one another and love one another and such. And the church is the place where we do that, as Paul's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll get into that here in just a little bit. But some of the things to look at in your personal growth with Christ, some specific elements that need to be there. One is the reading of the Word of God. You need to be reading in the Word of God. And not just using it as a textbook, but to read devotionally through the Word of God. It consists of studying the Word of God, in-depth study. Not just looking at a text and just breezing by, but looking at the implications of the text. What is the text saying about your Lord? How can you learn more about your Lord from this particular text of Scripture? What is it saying about you in regards to you and your relationship with the Lord? Prayer is absolutely vital. Prayer is absolutely vital to a healthy church growth. And I'll be honest with you, one thing that we started to do, and it's been probably about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, time every so often, maybe on a Wednesday, just to pray. For no other reason to gather together but to pray. And we need to do that as a church if we're going to grow together as a church and grow up in the Lord as a church. Prayer is necessity, absolutely, for your individual life to be a healthy, to have a healthy prayer life. You must have a healthy prayer life, and to make time to pray, make time to be in the Word, studying and spending time with your Lord, making time to be among the saints collectively in prayer. That's something that we fail to do. We pray, of course, on, you know, Sundays and Wednesdays we'll have a couple of times of prayer and what have you, but to really gather together for the purpose of prayer. We need to have that. And that's something that we will start doing. Every couple of Wednesdays, however we decide to do it, we're going to have a, you know, healthy time of prayer. As a church, we need that. And of course, the church itself. The church is here not for my benefit, not just for your benefit, but to collectively, it's for all of our benefit. And Paul is saying here that the church itself is for the benefit of growing in the Lord. He talks about here in verse 11, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Now, just a little quick footnote here. We actually talked about this morning in our Sunday school. Chris taught our Sunday school this morning, and he was speaking about prophets and even the apostles, and how these two particular offices have ceased in the church. There are no longer prophets. There are no longer apostles. Those were given for a time to bring us the scripture and so forth. And when the scripture was finally penned, these offices were done away with. We don't need them anymore. As what you pointed out this morning, we have a more sure word of prophecy, which is the complete canon of scripture. There's no need for apostles and prophets any longer. Just a little bit of a footnote there. But he goes on to say, and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, and it would probably be pastor-teacher would be the idea there. But you think about evangelists, God has given gifts to His church. Christ did not just give some commands and ascend back to heaven and just leave us, you know, wondering what we're supposed to do now. He has given us gifts in the church for the equipping of the saints to help to mature us, help to have us to grow in Christ. It's very interesting when you go back to the first verse of the chapter, the command that Paul gives, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And now he's going to elaborate how this takes place, and it takes place by the gifts that God has given to the church. Evangelist. And I want to point out something here about evangelist. We look at evangelist as a particular office that it's just given for some special people. They're evangelists and they go around and they do this, that, and the other, spreading the gospel, and that's their gift and that's what they do. And so we exempt ourselves from being evangelists because we think it's an office for somebody else. Let me say this. What is in view here, as far as evangelist is concerned, is probably most likely a pastor teacher who is going from place to place to place, sharing the gospel or preaching rather in other churches. You kind of get an example of that in the book of Acts with Philip the evangelist. He's in Samaria. Now he's pulled over here to preach to the eunuch. He's going from place to place preaching Christ. That is an evangelist. Now, as far as evangelists are concerned, generally speaking, every one of you, if you are a believer in Christ, you're genuinely a believer in Christ, every one of you is an evangelist. This isn't just for special people. It isn't just for certain ones. You are evangelists. And you are to fulfill your calling as an evangelist, which is given to every believer. You are to talk about the gospel and to share the gospel and strike up conversations with people so you can share the gospel and to meet new people for the specific purpose of sharing the gospel with them. That is your purpose. Now, he did give evangelists for the church to preach to us, to give us the word of God so that we can grow in the Lord and such. And again, the idea here, at least in this passage, is a pastor teacher going from maybe different churches and what have you, preaching to the people. But he gave some as pastors and some as teachers. We have some people here that are wonderful teachers that we can benefit from, that we can learn from, that we can grow in our knowledge of the Lord, that we can grow in understanding our purpose. We have wonderful teachers here. But you know, the thing is about being a teacher is that, in a sense, all of you should be teachers to an extent. Did you know that? You read the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5. The writer of Hebrews says, you all should be teachers by now. But you have need of someone to teach you now. The idea here is that, yes, you all have been called for that purpose too, generally speaking, to be teachers. But you do have some in the church that God has raised up in the church specifically to teach you that you can go and teach others. The more that you learn and the more that you grow, the more that you can teach others and they can grow as well. And generally speaking, again, all of you are called to be teachers. He gave some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers that expound the Word of God to you. That is the purpose for those that God has raised up, to expound the Word of God to you. Now, is it, you know, a matter of, you know, you can study in your own time, and that's something that you need to do, absolutely. But there is no individualistic Christianity taught in the Scripture. That's not there. We have this mentality that it's just me and Jesus, and that's all, and so I don't really need this teacher, or I don't need this teacher, or perhaps not even need the church altogether. But that is something that is not in the Scripture. The Scripture tells us, especially in this passage of Scripture, that you have been given gifts in the church for you to grow in your knowledge, to grow to a mature person in Christ. There is no individualistic ideas. It's always collectively. Not just you and Jesus. You're part of something much greater. You're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the universal church of Christ that is realized and manifested in the local assembly. You're part of that. And God has given gifts to the church so that you could grow in the Lord. We take those things for granted. We don't appreciate those things. But the Scripture is very adamant about those. The church has been given gifts for you. What good is it if we gather together? Well, I mean, what's the purpose unless it is to have someone expound the Word of God so that we can grow? Otherwise, why do we gather together? What's the purpose of it? If it's just an individual me and Jesus thing, why does the Scripture command us to assemble together? Why does the Scripture command us, or to rather have us to realize, to understand that there are those out there that when we gather together are there to expound the Word of God to us? Why does the Scripture tell us those things if it's an individualistic Christianity? I'll get there if I can. It's not really a big deal. What have you. I know things come up. Sometimes I'm not here. Sometimes I'm on vacation. But it's the attitude behind it. What is our attitude? Is it to look at the church with indifference and not realizing the benefit that God has given to us as a church? We must understand the importance that the church is here to benefit us in our growth in Christ. That's why it's here. That's why Christ established it. That we could grow to be more like Him as someone is up here or in a classroom or wherever teaching us and expounding to us. And something else about expounding to us the Word of God, and this is something that we're going to be doing next week, by the way, for those that are going to be teaching and what have you, about giving lessons on how to teach expositionally. And what that means is that when we come to a particular text of Scripture, we're not going to just pick out this verse over here and use it as a launching pad to talk about something else. We look at that Scripture and we expound that Scripture as it was written, why it was written, all those things, the implication of the text. We're pulling that from the text itself and we are giving it to the people. That's expositional teaching and preaching, just in a roundabout way, or a simplified version rather. But we do that for the purpose that you cannot just teach certain things that you like or certain things that people want to hear. When you start teaching expositionally, and this is why we do it, this is why we go through books, this is why we do it on Wednesdays as well, preaching through books, because we have to deal with the text. And in dealing with the text, those uncomfortable things that we don't like to hear, it does promote within us a growth in Christ because we realize something. We realize either this isn't right, what I'm doing, because the Word of God says this. We're forced to examine ourselves when we look at the Scripture in that kind of a manner. And what does that do? Promotes growth. It continues to have us to grow. If all we do is examine the Scriptures on wonderful themes of this and themes of this, and that's all we do, how are we ever going to know? This is pleasing to the Lord, this is not. How are we ever going to know? This is my purpose in life, it's not about me. We understand those things by going through the books themselves, and we understand when we look at them, I need to change things. Or perhaps I need to do more of this. or I need to do more of this. I want to show Christ that I love Him. So the Scripture tells me to demonstrate my love in this way, and this is what I'm going to do. That's a growth that has just taken place. When you come to the Scripture and you see something in your life that isn't right and you want to change it to please Christ, that's a growth that has taken place. The more knowledge that you have of the Scripture and of God and how He works in creation and how He works in your life, when you enter into a trial and you look and you say, to God be the glory. That's a growth that has taken place in you because of how you have grown in your knowledge and your understanding of the Lord. And it came as a result of the Scripture. He's given these gifts to His church for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry or the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. That's the primary purpose of the church. That is the primary purpose of the church. Just maybe a little bit of a footnote there. We've talked about it before. But the church's primary people is the saints. And what I mean by that is that when we gather together, we're not trying to cater to anyone else, but we're trying to teach the saints and to equip the saints. And so church in that sense is, technically speaking, don't stone me for that, but technically speaking, not for unbelievers. It is for the saints. Do we recognize unbelievers are within the assembly? Absolutely. Do we still share the gospel and what have you and go over the gospel message and what have you? Absolutely. But the church is here specifically for the saints. To equip you, to make you complete. To bring you from sin to obedience. That's why the church is here. To build up the body of Christ. To have a growth that takes place there. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, sound doctrine, doctrine that we all agree upon, we're united in that doctrine of the knowledge of the Son of God, that we come to know the deep things of Christ. And that's one of the great things that the church is here for, because we have great teachers that are here that can take you to that place of growing. And the church is here for that. That you can know not just on the surface things of Christ and things of the faith and what have you, but that you can understand and to know the deep things of God. Because as a result of knowing the deep things of God, then you grow in your relationship and appreciation with Him, for Him. Because once you come to understand the deep things of God and you come to understand the holiness of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God, then you start looking at your own self saying, well, yeah, I really didn't deserve this. Look at how I am in regards to a holy God. And then that promotes a growth in you that you come to appreciate your salvation even to an even greater extent. When you search out the deep things of God, and you know the Scripture tells us that we have the mind of Christ, that we have the Holy Spirit living within us who illuminates the Word in our hearts, or that we have, as 1 John says, we have an anointing that we can come to know these things because we have the teacher in us that can help us to understand and to apply. But it's about taking the initiative to search these things, to dig in here. Not just read over it and pass over it, but to stop, to reflect upon, to meditate on the Scripture. Why? Because it promotes growth. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. This is what we look for. This should be our goal, to be a mature man. And he goes on to expound on that very thing, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You want to know the end goal for you? The goal that you should be pressing toward, the mark that you should be pressing toward is what Paul says in Philippians, is Christ. To conform your life to being like Christ. To walk like Him, to talk like Him, to act like Him, to be as Jesus-like as you can be. That should be your goal. But to get there, to get to that place, to continue to persevere, it takes being in the Scripture. It takes being within the assembly to hear the Scripture expounded. It takes being within the assembly to have you all showing love and compassion and encouragement to each other. All those things. Not just for me to be up here saying something to you. You know what my task is? You know what my calling is? Just to expound to you the Scriptures. You know who does the ministry in the church? The people. It's not me. My calling is this. Now, do I just do nothing else? Well, no, I don't do that. But my primary purpose is to expound to you the Word of God so that you all would do the ministry, to equip you for the work of ministry. That's why we have teachers here to do the very same thing, to equip you for the work of ministry, to give you that deeper knowledge of the Son of God, to mature you in Christ, to promote that growth in you to conform your life to Christ. That's why we're here. That should be our desire. Every time we come into the door, it should be our desire not to hear me, but to hear what does the Scripture say. Because I don't want you to hear me. I want you to hear what God says. And that's one reason, especially just maybe as another side note there, that's why when I preach to you, I'm preaching expositionally because I don't want to get in the way. I want you to know what the Scripture says. Not hear what I say. But we grow in Christ. We grow to be more like Christ. We grow in our relationship with Christ, growing closer to the Lord, and that is our purpose. That should be our goal. And as a result, Paul says in verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. You realize that as you grow more in Christ and you come to have a greater knowledge of the Word of God and the greater knowledge of Christ, that you can pinpoint when something isn't right. You can understand when someone's teaching something and you're like, that just doesn't sound right. That's not right with what I've read before. You have that ability because you have the Word of God implanted in your heart. And you can recognize those things. And not to get on a tangent there or what have you, but that is one thing that I cannot understand. When we look and we see, Chris was talking about false prophets this morning. When we look and we see these false prophets, and yet you see people that are following these false prophets, and you sit back and you wonder, why? Do you not see what's going on? Do you not recognize what's going on? And it's because they don't have discernment, because they don't have the Word of God in their hearts. They haven't grown in that knowledge. They haven't grown there. And it very well could be that it's maybe their own fault, perhaps, that they don't just take the time to read and to study and all those things and pray. Or they not perhaps at a church that would teach them these things or what have you. But you see this happening. But as you come to grow in Christ and you come to have a greater knowledge of Christ, guess what? Your discernment meter goes up. And you can recognize and you can see this isn't right. Don't follow this man. This is a wolf in sheep's clothing. You're able to warn other people and you're able to answer those questions back to them, as he says, speaking the truth in love. And that comes as a result of your growth in Christ. In your growth, in your knowledge, in your relationship, the closer that you come to Christ, the more that you're going to be able to discern those things that are wrong, that are false teachings. You're able to speak the truth in love, warning other people, correcting other people, whatever the case may be. He says, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Again, that growth that takes place there. We're to grow up in all aspects. That Christ is to be Lord of our life in every aspect of life. Not just on the Sunday time that we come together, or the Wednesday time that we come together, or the Friday mornings that we come together, or any other time that we come together. We're not just putting, the Lordship of Christ hat on and coming on in, but it's every day. It's all the time. Christ is Lord all the time, and you make Him Lord all the time. Or actually, you're not really making Him Lord. He's Lord whether you make Him that or not. But you're recognizing that, and you're walking in obedience to that. If He's Lord of your life, He's Lord over every aspect of your life. There's not one part of your life that is not under the Lordship of Christ. But we grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And He goes on to say this, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. That's very interesting when He says that. According to the proper working of each individual part. John MacArthur, I was reading him a little bit, and here's what he said concerning that. He said, godly biblical church growth results from every member of the body fully using his spiritual gift in submission to the Holy Spirit and in cooperation with other believers. We talked about last week in 1 Corinthians 12, talking about the body of Christ and how you're part of the body of Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ, and every member has a certain function, right? Christ is the head. You have a certain function as a part of the body. Remember we talked about, you know, the ear saying, well, if I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, and so forth and what have you. You have a part in the body of Christ. Individually, you have been given a spiritual gift to function within the body of Christ. And that's what he's saying there. That's what John MacArthur is getting across as well. That the body is fitted together, it's held together by Christ, it's joined together by Christ, according to the proper working of each individual member. You're growing in Christ, you're learning your gifts in Christ, you're using your gifts and functioning in the church itself as a member of the body. But when you're not using anything, when you're doing nothing, how can you be a functioning member of the church? How can you be a growing member of the church? When all we're doing is sitting. We're doing nothing. The idea is to encourage you to, and sometimes rebuke you for not. You have a purpose, you have a function, and you are to use that. Not just sit on it. Not just think perhaps that we've arrived at a certain place in our life and there's really nothing else for us to learn. There's always something for us to learn and to grow. Once you stop growing, what did Mark Dever say? You stop growing, when things stop growing, they die. We got to keep pressing forward. We got to keep learning. We got to keep growing. That's something that Peter tells us as well, by the way. In 2 Peter. At the end of 2 Peter, listen to what Peter says. Very same thing. Verses 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Peter says the same thing. To grow. And as you grow, you recognize deceitful scheming, you recognize these things, but it is as a result of your growth in Christ that you recognize these. It is a result of hearing the Word, of studying the Word, reading the Word, meditating on the Word, reflecting on the truths of the Word. Your growth in Christ is dependent on the Word. Are you going to grow in Christ without it? No, you will not. So if we come to a place in our Christian walk where we are just plateaued, then what do? We rekindle the gift that is within us. We go to the Word of God. We start following and obeying. Because that's going to promote your growth. Being a healthy church member is a functioning church member. Growing. Using your gifts, using your spiritual gift. And a healthy church member is a growing member who continually seeks that righteousness of Christ, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, as the Word says. Do you? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do you hunger to be more like Christ? Do you hunger to grow, to know more, to be closer to your Lord? Those are questions that you need to reflect on. Are you ever going to arrive in this life? Well, no, you will not. But the whole idea is that you continue to progress. And the church is here for you for that purpose. That's why we're here. That's why the Lord has allowed us and gave us the privilege to begin the church and to continue on. This is our purpose. And I pray that every one of us would have that attitude in us that we want to seek to continue to grow and seek to be a functioning member of the church. Amen. Let's stand if you would. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come into Your presence this morning. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that we can come to know You through Your Word. We can come to know those things that are good and pleasing in Your sight, that we could do them, that we can come to know how You work in creation, that, Father God, You are the sovereign Lord God, and that as we enter into any trial or suffering, we know, Father God, that we may not understand it, we may not know what tomorrow holds, but, Father God, we know that You know all things and that You will give us the endurance to get through anything. As Your Word says, we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. Father God, we thank You for that privilege. Father, we ask and pray that You would kindle within our hearts a desire to know You even more intimately, to grow in our knowledge of You, to grow in our relationship with You, to never cease to grow. Father God, we ask and pray that You would forgive us where we failed You. Forgive us, Father God, for taking Your Word for granted and not making the time necessary to be in Your Word. Father God, all of us are guilty of that. Father, help us to have our time set aside, proper time, healthy time, to be in Your Word, to gather together as a body. Father God, we just desire to please You and to glorify You and to honor You. Father God, give us wisdom and knowledge that we could do those things and walk before You in a manner that is pleasing to You. Father, be with our church. Be with all of our members. Father God, we thank You for those that You've brought here. We thank You for those teachers that we have here. Father God, that contribute to the teaching and the equipping of the saints. Thank You for their wisdom. Thank You for their knowledge. We pray, Father God, that You would open up more doors for us in ministry. And Father God, that we would share the gospel with others and that You would be honored in it. Father God, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, Amen.